Come before you in the name of Jesus. Father, we're grateful to be here as humble servants of yours. Father, I pray that we are enlightened by your word this morning, that it just lights up something inside of us that helps quicken it, give it life, and make it alive, that we may understand you, we may know you, that we may walk in your ways in a more effective and more powerful way than we did before we came in this morning. Lord, I thank you for your word, the way it has touched my life, Lord, and pray that we can then impart that into the people in this room, Father, and beyond this, for the people that hear and listen on the internet and other things, Father, that you are edified, you are glorified, you are exalted in our hearts and minds beyond anything that we've seen or done before, Father. We praise you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So I'm going to give you what is the new outlook, but part of it, really, if I had an underscore, an undertitle for this, it would be called the renewed mind. The renewed mind. Because we're going to talk a little bit about what the mind is and a purpose or things that it, a purpose that it serves in our life. Because over the last few weeks, we've talked about how you are the light of the world because you have the light of the world in you. Okay, and so when you go places, you light up that room. You walk in, you're the light that is there in a dark place, oftentimes in a workplace or even in our families or other things that we go into. You are that light for the people around you. Okay, deep down at your core, deep down inside of you, God has made you right. He has made you righteous. He has made you holy. He has made you blameless in His sight. That's what He said. Okay, so prior to that, the week before that, we had talked about how the mouth speaks out of the abundance of the heart. Okay, the mouth speaks out of the abundance of the heart. So if Jesus is who is in your heart, then it should be good things. It should be holy things. It should be pure things that are coming out of our life. But unfortunately, for some Christians, that's not what is making it to the surface. That's not what is manifesting. That's not the reality. Okay, we're pure and holy and right and just. God has put Himself inside of us. But what comes out and manifests sometimes is not looking quite like that. The things that are coming out, the actions that are being displayed on the surface do not match, in other words, with what is deep down at your core. Okay, so if you're right on the inside at your core, then we want that to come out. So why is that? Why is it that part of what manifests on the outside isn't as glorious as what's on the inside? Well, part of the reason is something we alluded to maybe a week or two ago about when we're looking at what you take in the most or what is influencing you the most is what is going to manifest on the outside. Okay, the more a society, or more importantly for individuals like you and I, let's personalize this, let's make it real for you and me, the more that we are immersed in ungodliness and immorality, the more of an effect it has on us. Okay, what you tolerate in your life is what you will accept, okay? What you accept is what you tolerate. What you tolerate is what you accept. And it becomes the norm for you. In other words, when you become sort of desensitized to something, then it literally begins to affect you without you even being aware of its presence anymore. Okay, we went to like at this conference I just came from. Now, I'm a Wyoming guy, and we had, you know, 40 degrees below zero a couple weeks ago and, you know, some pretty cold temperatures. It was in the zero, I think, when I left, kind of thing. And I went up, and even up in the mountains, it was in the 20s, you know, 20, 30 miles, 30 degrees. There was no mile per hour. Okay, no wind. And so up there, you know, I just wore my regular dress shirt and stuff, and I just wore a vest over the top of it. And maybe I did have some gloves, you know, some kind of light gloves, and so I wore those. And, you know, these guys that we'd be waiting, you know, that we parked in a parking lot, and then they would bus us right up to the front door of the school. And as we're standing there waiting, these guys from Florida, man, they're just freaking out. I mean, this is 20 degrees, and there's snow on the ground up there. And so they're freaking out, and oh, man, you must be from California or something. You know, didn't know to dress right. And I was like, no, I'm from Wyoming. This is great, you know. And so it's kind of that thing that if you're out in the elements, some of you guys work out in it. I know Keith and other guys, you work out in the elements, man. When it gets up to 30 degrees, you're stripping off jackets. You know, it's hot. But 30 degrees to somebody from Hawaii, that's below freezing. I mean, you know, they're bundling up, they're getting the hats on, they're putting their ski mask and coveralls on, you know. And so if your body is used to it, you've become a little desensitized to 30 degrees, right? You've gotten used to it. And so for us, living here and working out in it, you're a little desensitized to it. It doesn't affect you that much. It can be 30 degrees, and to you, that's normal. You know, this is a great, nice day. It's a beautiful day outside. And so it's kind of that thing of when you get used to something, then you don't, it doesn't have that quite that same effect on it. Well, the desensitization and what goes in the most coming out and being what comes out answers the question in part about why, if we're right at our core, if Jesus is in you, and He who is pure and holy and perfect is who is inside of you at your core, in your heart, and yet what is sometimes being displayed on the outside is anything but a resemblance of Jesus. It really doesn't look like Him at all. Then where is the disconnect? Where is it that it stops? If it's pure in here and it's on its way out to manifest for the life of myself and the people around us, where is that disconnect? God has given us, obviously, all things that pertain unto life and godliness. That's Scripture. Okay, and yet godliness is not always what's being displayed. Now, I'm not going to focus too much on what is being displayed today. Okay? If we take a moment, we kind of ponder on it, I could start naming off some of the common flaws in the Christian life, and within a few minutes I could probably name something that would connect with every one of us. We can look at our life and know that sometimes the things that manifest, the things that come out, is not what God intended. It's not really what we wanted to be doing. Okay? But we do have to take enough of a look at it to know that what is coming out of your life, if we compare that to what should be coming out, and we realize that what is coming out is an indicator of what's on the inside, or in the case of the Christian, now catch this, for the Christian, what is coming out is an indicator of what's on the inside, or what it is passing through before it gets out. In other words, it is an indicator of whether or not it is being tainted, corrupted, or defiled on its way out. Okay, now listen to this example. Okay, out on a ranch, we have water wells, right? We have wells, we have a couple of them. One that is more a little further away from the house, and that's kind of used for filling the water tanks and the cow tanks and the water in the lawn and that kind of stuff. And then we have another one that's up closer to the house, and that one just is a direct line right into the house. Okay. Now I know some of you probably maybe have city water or something. Maybe you get yours through the water treatment plant or a water tower or wherever. But I think if you use your imagination, you'll be able to visualize this example. If I go out and I hook up the garden hose and I flip the switch and on comes, you know, crank the knob, out comes the end of the hose. Here comes this water out. If that water that comes out is rusty, kind of dirty, kind of smelly, okay, there's nothing between this end of the hose that I have and deep down in that well. It just comes out and comes out. You know what I mean? So basically, what is coming out tells me what is on the other end. Okay, it's a pretty good indicator that with no filter between the well and the end of the hose that I'm holding, that what I see is what I've got, right? Okay, so down in that well, that's the way it is. That kind of makes sense. Maybe another example would be, let's say you're drinking a glass of milk, okay, with a straw, okay, and you get down to the bottom of the glass of the straw and you're sucking it up, and next thing you know, here comes the crumbs that you were dipping in your milk, okay, because they're all sitting down there in the bottom of that thing, in the bottom of your glass. So between the bottom of the straw and the top of the straw, there's nothing to filter that out. So what comes out the top is what's in the bottom, right? That's what's at the base is what's going to be coming out the top of that, okay? So the truth is that you as a born-again Christian, today you have the holiness of Jesus Christ. You have that pure Jesus Christ down inside of you that is deep in your well, at the bottom of your glass, and He is not bad. He is not foul. He is not rusty, smelly, dirty. Okay, He is at your core. So if what is coming out the other end, if what is coming out and being displayed through your words and your actions is corrupt, it's defiled, it's tainted, somewhere between the end of that hose down in the well and where it comes out, somewhere it is being spoiled, it is being tainted, it is being defiled in some way. So it then must be that as it's in our heart and begins to come out, you cannot speak a word without it going through your mind and forming that word and saying it. So it must be that if it's pure in here, but when it manifests on the outside, it's got to go through this thing between our ears. It's got to go through our mind. Okay, so it must be then the filter of your mind that is corrupting it before it gets all the way out. In other words, you've got some wrong thoughts in your mind about yourself and about God and about how He sees you and your understanding of Him. And so those wrong thoughts are tainting the goodness of Christ before it gets all the way out. So you've got what some would call stinking thinking, right? Okay, it's kind of corrupting it on the way out. Okay, it's not getting all the way up. And by the time it does, it's a little fouled up. Okay, in other words, your view of who you are, and maybe your view of what you're capable of, is not lining up with God's view of who you really are. See, the grace of the new covenant that we live under as a New Testament believer, that grace that we live under is not found when we see ourselves the way that we think we are. That grace is found when we see ourselves the way God sees us. That's how we receive grace. That's how we understand the love of God. It's not by looking at who I am and what I think I am. It's by seeing myself the way that God sees me. And that's where the Word of God comes in. Okay? That's what, when God looks at you and sees the blood of His Son that was sacrificed on your behalf, that's when He sees the robe of righteousness that you put on when you trusted in Jesus as your Lord and Savior. That's what God is seeing when He sees you. Okay, now 2 Corinthians 5:21 says this about Jesus. It says, He has been made sin for us, who knew no sin, so that we might be made the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Okay, we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. He has made you holy. He has made you righteous on the inside. And therefore, the possibility and the way for it to be manifest on the outside has been accomplished for you by Jesus Christ. He made you right so that this could be your new life, your new creation, your new outlook can be, I am right on the inside, and that is what is going to be coming out. So He is inside of you, waiting and wanting to come out and be displayed for the whole world to see. Okay, Jesus Christ is within you. So if our heart is pure and right, our heart is holy, but what is being displayed through our mouth or through our actions is not pure and right and holy, then it is our mind that is twisting it up. And it has to be changed to line up with God and His way, to line up with the Word of God. What does God say about me? How am I in His eyes? And when I begin to see myself that way, it begins to manifest through my life. When you still have fears that are giving you anxiety, okay, you have not fully believed in your mind the truth that God has not given you the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Okay, if you're stressed out about finances, and lack and not having enough, then you do not believe that my God shall supply all your need according to His riches and glory. Okay? If you're still struggling with sins and you think that, you know, they're always going to have this grip on you, they're always stronger than I am, then you're not seeing yourself as more than a conqueror through Him that loves you. More than a conqueror through Jesus. Those are all scriptures that I'm quoting. That's the Word of God. That's what He says, that He will supply all your need. He will give you the strength. He has made you more than a conqueror. Okay? If you think that you are too weak You're too inadequate. You're too uneducated. You're too poor. You're too whatever, okay, to accomplish your goals, to see the victory in the life and the things that you desire. Then you do not believe in your mind that you can do all things through Christ which strengthens you. Okay? It comes down to believing in your mind. The truth is, you can do all things through Christ which strengthens you. But somewhere right here, as it goes from the pureness that it is, as it comes out and manifests, I'm letting my mind twist that and not staying with the truth of the Word. You have to believe the words that of God that you have in your hand. If you have your Bible today, you have the absolute Word of God for you in your hand. You can adhere to this. You can live by it. You can hold God accountable to it, to His own Word. He said He would supply all my need. He said He would strengthen me. He said I am more than a conqueror through Him. So, Father God, if I'm not conquering, I'm holding Him accountable. Okay? I'm saying, God, this is Your Word to me. And He will always abide by His own Word. He is required to. It was His own words that said that He would. Okay? He is going to adhere to that. So you have to believe the Word of God that you have in your hands. When you read that chapter before you go to bed at night, okay, some of you read your Bible at night, or if you read your devotion while you're eating your breakfast in the morning, or when you read or hear the Word preached on Sunday morning or Wednesday night, or you're listening to it on the radio or whenever it is, you have to believe that Word to you, receive it, and then live your life like the way that God intended, like the way that God expects. God's determined right here and now that His people would walk in righteousness, that His people would live it out the way that He has called us to. Hebrews 4:12 says this. It says, the Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, even to the piercing, even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and the marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and the intentions of the heart. Okay? In other words, the Word of God knows. The Word of God discerns. The Word of God understands the thoughts of your mind, and it quickly compares the thoughts of your mind to the intentions of your heart. So in other words, if what is coming up out of the well is pure and it's right and it's holy, and then it hits your mind and gets knocked off course and gets knocked into doubt, gets knocked into dismay or despair or depression or whatever else it is, when it begins to get knocked off of the truth, the Word of God is what reveals that to you. The Word of God is what shows you what the truth is, so that it can discern the thoughts and the intentions of the heart. So immediately as it passes through, when the Word of God is your norm, when the Word of God is your standard, when the Word of God is what you're holding on to and cleaving to and believing and living by, then when things begin to pass through your mind that don't line up with the Word of God, it is immediately discerned by the Word itself. And you say, no, that's not who I really am. I'm not a sinner anymore. I don't have to give in to that today. I don't have to go down that road. I don't have to get bummed out about that. I don't have to get stressed about that. I don't have to be upset or angry, or I don't have to deal all that, because God said, I'm more than a conqueror through Him. God said, I'm strong in Him. God said, my weakness makes Him stronger. I know that when you know the Word of God, as it begins to pass through your mind, any situation, circumstance, whatever it is, when it passes through your mind, it is connected with the Word of God, and the Word of God is the truth. And therefore, it discerns that and helps you stay on track. So when you study the Word of God, you read the Word of God, you begin to think like God thinks, you begin to see yourself the way that God sees you, then it lines up perfectly so that what comes out the other end of your hose, in other words, is pure just like the source. What is at the bottom of the well in your heart is what manifests on the outside, because the filter that it's going to go through is going to renew it or keep it right with the way that it's supposed to be. Okay, the renewing of your mind is what the Apostle Paul talked about when he told us this in Romans chapter 12, verse 2. He said, be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you can prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. What does it mean to renew something? Okay, to renew something. If you're going to renew your apartment lease, if you're going to renew your cell phone contract, if you're going to renew your marriage vows, what does that mean? It means you already have an apartment, you're just going to renew the lease. It means you already have the cell phone, you're just going to renew that contract. So it means you're already married, you're just going to renew your marriage vows. You're reinstating, revitalizing, renewing something that you already have. If you already have a new mind, then to renew it is just to reinstate, to revitalize, refresh, remind yourself of what you already have. You have the mind of Christ. You already have it. You need to let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus. Philippians 2, 3. He says, let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus. Let it be. Okay? Renew your mind. If you have the mind of Christ, you're just renewing it. You're just already a new creation in Christ Jesus. You've already been given that new mind. You've already been given the ability to think the way that God wants you to think and to be able to see the way that God wants you to see. You renew that. Our house at home, to go back to the well analogy, our house water that comes from the other well, that comes into our tap, runs through a pressure tank, which goes through a big filter about this big around. From that filter, it runs through another hose to a smaller filter about this big around. And then it runs up to the tap. If I fill up my water glass and it has a little bit of taste to it that doesn't taste quite right or a little bit of odor, I know it's time to go change the filter. It's time to go back down in the basement, shut off the water, unscrew it, and replace those filters. Because apparently what's in the well is good water, but by the time it gets out the tap, it's got to go through a couple of filters. So when the filter starts to not be clean anymore, I need to renew that filter. That's exactly what God is telling us to do with your mind. Renew your mind. You've already got it. It's already good. It's already should be coming out good stuff. So renew it. Renew that mind with the Word of God. People ponder sometimes, why, if I'm a Christian and I'm pure and I'm holy deep down inside, then why do I still do bad things? The answer is because what is coming out is a product of what is deep in the well and what it passes through on the way out. It's a product of that filter that it's got to go through. If you look at the products of your life and you see that it is not as pure as God expects it to be, then you know that it's time to renew your mind. It's time to spend some time in the Word, reading, hearing, listening, studying, just spending time in that and get your mind renewed so that it's thinking like God's thinking, because you're renewing that filter that it has to pass through before it manifests in your life. God has given you everything you need to live the life that He has called you to. He's given you all the power and all the authority over the enemy. He has given you all the hope. He's given you all the strength. He's given you all the tools to live exactly like He wants you to. And that is good news for you and I. That is the truth that by your faith you can walk in His ways. By your faith in Him, you have been made new, a new creation, and now you renew that. Colossians 1:21 says this. Says you that at one time, sometime, were alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now has He reconciled. He brought you together with Him in the body of His flesh through death, so that He could present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in His sight. That's what your faith in Jesus made you. Holy, unblameable, righteous in the sight of God. By faith in Jesus, you would put on that robe of righteousness. In other words, at one time your mind was alienated from the truths and the promises of God. But now, by faith in Jesus, He has reconciled your mind, brought it together with the ways of God. Ephesians 4:22, as we close this out, says that you put off concerning the former conversation the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. This is who you are now. That was before. This is after. This is who you are now. We are created in righteousness unto God. Okay, true holiness. So we allow and let the Word of God shape our thinking. Okay, when a situation comes up and you filter it, filter your response to it through the Word, you begin to say, what does the Word say? What does the Word say about it? That's where I'm going to go. What does God say about your financial situation? What does God say about your relationships? What does the Word say about your circumstances that you have come up against? God's Word doesn't always tell us everything that we want it to. Sometimes we want a specific answer to something, but God's Word definitely gives us everything we need to know. Okay, everything we need is in there. Every situation that comes up is in there. It's addressed one way or another. Okay, God's Word is thorough to fully accomplish all those things that He needed to say. Okay, allow and receive the truth that Jesus Christ is deep within you. Okay, you have the mind of Christ, and you are fully capable of knowing and believing and living out the ways and the purpose and the plan that God created you for. You have that capacity. God made it possible. And then He instructed us with that simple little thing that says, renew your mind with the Word of God. And so we get to thinking the way that God wants us to be thinking. Amen. Let your mind be that renewed filter. Praise God. Father God, we love You this morning. Grateful for the revelation, the understanding of who You are. Father, the way that You see us. I believe, I truly believe, Lord, the more that we see ourselves the way You see us, the easier it is to walk in Your ways. We live it out. We walk it out with confidence, knowing that I'm not living my own life. I'm living the life that You have called me to. I have given my life to You. Daily I give it to You. Every moment I give it to You. And that, Father, as we go forth, we can just trust that You have given us all things that we need to live out this life just exactly the way that You want us to, Father. Your Word is quick and powerful. Father, Your Word is what gives us that discernment. Your Word is what separates the thoughts and the intentions that helps us to understand whether it's of You or of not. Father, we love You. We praise You. We thank You for leading us and guiding us this week. Open doors for us, Father. We may share Your Word and Your grace, Your understanding and love, Father, with the people that we encounter, Lord. I praise You for that. Praise You for those opportunities, Lord. We look forward to going forth from here, Father, is renewed in our mind, Father, having an understanding of who we are in Christ, that we are strong in Jesus, that, Father, we do have all things that we need in Jesus, that we are right with You in Jesus, Father, and that we live and love and trust and live in those ways, Father. We give You all the praise and all the glory in the name of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.